Congressman Garrett Graves pays his regular Wednesday morning visit. There are a lot of things going on in Congress that are of interest to Mr. Graves, not only in Congress, but in D.C. in general. Let's talk to him right now. Mr. Graves, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Very, very well. The first thing I wanted to ask you about, this is not directly congressional business, but we saw earlier this week that the Supreme Court will take up the matter of the president's executive orders on immigration. Any comments on that?
Yeah, look, I think this is a real win for us. I think it's great that they're going to be taking it up. You know, if you look at the court's docket for this year, you have administration priorities related to collective bargaining, related to abortion, related to affirmative action, Obamacare, voting rights, and immigration, among others. All of these are key issues for this administration. In many cases, areas where we believe they've gone beyond their constitutional authority, and this is going to be a very pivotal year for the administration, for their legacy, because the court could really hand them some significant defeats in regard to the administration overstepping their authority.
Well, the court has looked at this askance in the past, and it'll be very interesting to see whether or not the administration can make a compelling argument to let this executive order stand when we have clear immigration law in this country that is already on the books.
Yeah, and Bill, there's no doubt that, or I don't think there's any doubt that this administration has gone beyond the confines of the law. And in this case, in particular, the district court judge has come in on numerous occasions, expressed much frustration with Department of Justice and others in regard to Department of Homeland Security, as well in regard to how they have hidden things from him, how they have taken actions directly contrary to some of the rulings that he's given. I mean, this has just really been very poorly handled by the government. And I'll say it again, I think it goes beyond what this administration has the authority to do. There are laws on the books today, and how they can decide which ones they're going to enforce and just cherry pick them like that, I think it's entirely inappropriate. I mean, what if we decided which laws, as citizens, we decided which laws we were going to follow?
If you don't mind me changing subjects on you just a little bit, I was looking at, I follow you on Facebook, and I was looking at one of your posts here talking about the Congressional Budget Office's budget and economy outlook. Is it true they're looking to the deficit to more than triple?
Without aggressive action, we are on a trajectory to see extraordinary growth in the deficit, which is again the annual deficit as opposed to the debt, which is a whole other crisis of approaching $18 trillion. You know, we came in last year, and within the first I want to say about 6 weeks of being here, we got together with another group of members and negotiated a budget agreement whereby. And I want to be clear, Kevin, I think that we should balance our budget this year. I think we should have balanced it last year. But we were working with a group of about 80 members and came to an agreement where we could get the budget balanced in 5 years. We tried to get it balanced that year, and we couldn't get consensus among the group on what that would look like. So the best deal we could get would be about 5 years. We put that for a vote before the Congress, and I think the vote was about 120 people supported it, meaning that, you know, 315 opposed it. Just to give you an idea of how crazy the budget situation is here in the mindset of many folks in Congress, it's really unfortunate. What we ended up getting passed was a budget that was going to bring us to balance within about 9 or 10 years, which I think is unreasonable. I think it's leaving an awful debt for next generation and future generations, and I think it's totally inappropriate. But we have got to attack, as we discussed last time on the phone, we have got to attack these entitlement programs. When I say attack, what I mean is reform them. We are spending more money now on welfare, social welfare-type programs than we've ever spent, yet we have more people dependent upon these programs and a higher percentage of the population on them now. The war on poverty has been a complete failure, and we have got to go in and redesign those programs to actually allow people to get off of these programs as opposed to making it a lifestyle, way of life.
That would be my question, and I realize it's hard to legislate this kind of thought process into whatever it is Congress decides to do, but have some of these programs, in your opinion, become a little bit too attractive?
Oh, look, there was a study that was done, I think, 2 years ago, Bill, that said that you could make the equivalent of about $25 an hour by simply taking advantage of all of these programs as opposed to working. So I'm going to say that again. You could sit home and not work and make $25 an hour just by taking advantage of social welfare programs. You know, and some people say, oh, you know, this is just conservatives being insensitive. I actually think that this is a real opportunity for both parties, because on the Republican side, you know, we look at this, we look at trying to save money and creating a pathway to prosperity for these communities that otherwise have been stuck in these poverty cycles. And I think on the liberal side, again, being able to create a path to where folks can get on their own 2 feet, to where they can get their own jobs and not dependent upon government, I really think it's a win-win. And I'll tell you, Paul Ryan has actually put a lot of thought into this, and we've had a number of conversations about this. He really wants to make this a key agenda item for 2016. So I'm excited about that, because it's something we've been focused on for the last several months.
Conservatives are called much worse things than insensitive. I mean, they come right out and say you hate poor people. Conservatives hate poor people. And you're waging war on poor people. And I think it's anything but the truth. You'd like to see programs that would give them a hand up, you know, rather than a handout.
I know we've only got about 2.5 more minutes with you today. Your schedule is a little tight. What's on your agenda for the next week before we visit? What's coming before you?
Well, we're actually not in session this week, and I usually am home when we're not in session. But this week is Washington Mardi Gras, so mm-hmm. There are literally thousands of Louisianians that have traveled up here or are on their way up here for the Washington Mardi Gras celebration. It is one of the more popular celebrations in Washington, D.C., and we have such a great state, such a great culture. We have a lot to celebrate up here, and so we are just doing literally back-to-back meetings in 15-minute increments from here through Saturday.
Yeah, I know. My wife is one of them. She's coming to see, I think, after lunch today with the seafood people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She sure is. Yeah, the seafood board's coming up. Yep.
Well, you know, you may need to bring a flashlight to the ball from what we're hearing. Come Friday evening, you could be under about a foot and a half of snow there in Washington.
Yeah, I hope you didn't want your wife back. She may be stuck up here for a while. They were saying that we could get 2 feet or maybe even 3 feet of snow starting on Friday night. So it could make some of the Louisianians trekking up here, it could put some people in shock.
Well, it'd make for an interesting Washington Mardi Gras ball, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know how well Crocs do in snow, but we'll see soon.
Well, you know, you're no stranger to that kind of weather. I mean, you've spent your years in Washington before. But it can be real shock to people that have never seen a real, honest-to-God, sticking snowfall. Spend some time up there when you're getting 6, 8, 9 inches of snow overnight and things like that. So
yeah, it certainly is going to be a shock to a lot of folks' system, I have no doubt.